And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. And we are solving the riddle of the Council on Foreign Relations, naked man on the white horse. The naked man on the white horse. You see, that is the mysterious power revealed to us by their very logo. The Council on Foreign Relations, of course, is made up of the most powerful men in America. And America is the world's only remaining superpower. Some 3,500 men, including some women, make up this august group. And since 1921, or shortly even before that, they have existed. Their headquarters in Washington and New York. Washington, the political capital of the world. New York, the financial capital of the world. Today, over 70% of the membership of the Council on Foreign Relations is of Jewish heritage. Jewish heritage. The president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Mr. Haas, is a Jew. All of the prominent members in the committee chairman of the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, are Jews. Is this significant? We shall see. As we talked about last week, and this is part two in a series now, part two, and I hope we will be able to finish up today. But I want you to understand that the symbol is found on each copy of their foreign affairs publication. They publish a journal, the CFR, and I read it because I find out it's the blueprint, it's the roadmap for the way the world's going to be down the road. And on each cover of the foreign affairs publication is a small, almost indistinct little logo. Look very carefully because it is a circle, a black background circle. And it is a image, a stark image of a man. He's a white man and he has no clothes on. He's a wild man and he's riding a white horse rampant with his two hoofs and legs in the air as if he's ready to gallop off. And the man is holding the reins of the horse in his left hand, and in his right hand, he is doing the 6-degree sign of admiration and astonishment of the Freemason Lodge, giving the symbol, which, as I talked about last week, is a sign signifying 666 and is even so stated in the Freemasonry's own textbooks. And I actually have the pages from those textbooks reprinted in my book, Codex Magica. Below the horse, on this symbol, on this curious symbol of the Council on Foreign Relations, is the word in Latin, ubique, meaning everywhere, we're everywhere, we're watching, we're like Big Brother. We're like the all-seeing eye over the pyramid on the $1 bill. We're everywhere. We control. We rule. We reign. We're the warriors on the block. We're seething with dynamic Luciferian energy, as Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Freemason, put it. We're Lucifer's soldiers. And we have a great general, the Antichrist, our Messiah, who shall come. And here he is already, this naked man. Now, he has one element missing from his hand. Revelation 6 will tell you what that element is. And he has one thing missing from his head. And we read in Revelation 6 of the Bible, It says, "And I saw when the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Friends, this is the rider of the white horse. Here the Council on Foreign Relations depict their great leader to emerge on the world scene. He yet lacks two things: the bow, which is the implements of war, of the great war that is to culminate all things, to finish all things, to terminate all things as prophesied, and he is missing a crown on his head. He has not yet been crowned, and he has not yet been allowed to go and unleash the great war of the red horse and the black horse and the pale horse that brings death to almost the entire population of this planet. But that time is drawing very near. Who would have a bow? He would have to be an archer, bow and arrows. Of course, the eagle has the arrows in his talon. What eagle? Well, the United States. Do you not believe me, my dear friends? Then go and look at the great seal of the United States depicted in art on the $1 bill, and look at the arrows that he holds. But where is the bow? Ah, yes. It will come. It will come from the Pentagon, that great satanic symbol in Washington, D.C., in due time. Now, in the Bible, I told you about this wild man. This wild man, his name in the Bible is Ishmael. Ishmael. That is perhaps only one of the names. But his biblical name, his heir, was Ishmael. I don't think that the Antichrist will be named Ishmael. But you see, the Bible says that God's people, Israel, are the heirs of the promise of Abraham through Isaac. Because the Bible says, "In the name of Isaac shall thy seed be called." Abraham was told, "Your seed shall follow after Isaac," Abraham's son, born to Sarah, born free, the Bible says, to the free woman, Sarah. But there was another son born first, a son named Ishmael, a son that the Bible said in the book of Genesis, the angel of the Lord prophesied would be a wild man. His hand would be against everyone, and everyone on earth's hand would be against him. There'll be war with this man. He's a troublemaker, but not a holy troublemaker. He acts for the one who puts people in bondage. For he himself is a slave and is in bondage, as is his mother, Hagar. And Genesis 21 talks about both the birth of Isaac and what happens to Hagar and her son, Ishmael. First of all, Sarah demands that Abraham throw out, cast out into the wilderness, Hagar and her son. Because Sarah tells Abraham, this bondwoman, this slave woman, and her son Ishmael shall not be heir with my son, who is Isaac. Abraham is grieved, of course, because he obviously loves both sons, Isaac and Ishmael. He doesn't want to do it. But then the Spirit of the Lord comes to him and says, do what Sarah says. Cast out the slave woman and her son into the wilderness. And God says, I'll take care of them. I'll see they get what's deserving. Don't worry. It's my responsibility. And Abraham does what God tells him to do. He does what Sarah demands. And he cast out the slave woman and her son. He does so reluctantly, because it's his son. And the Bible acknowledges that Ishmael is the seed of Abraham. Yes, the seed of Abraham is Ishmael, but also Isaac is the seed of Abraham. And Abraham was given certain promises, and his seed would be the heirs. And Sarah says that Hagar and her slave son Ishmael, they will not be the heirs. And God agrees. And so the children of Israel forever, it shall be that in Isaac is thy seed called. They're the children of Abraham through Isaac, the seed of Abraham. But there is another seed, a seed of the flesh indeed. You see, Isaac is the spirit not only of the flesh, but of the promise. Because Sarah, being too old to have a child, nevertheless had one. Abraham, being an old man, nevertheless had this child. And he was a child of the promise. And now he's the heir. Ishmael shall not be the heir. And Ishmael is cast out into the wilderness. But look what God does in chapter 21. God comes to Hagar. She's worried. What's going to happen to me and my son? We're out here, out in the wilderness, all alone. What will happen to us? And she cries out to God, help, help us. And God hears her. And he said unto her, what aileth thee? What's your problem, Hagar? What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, the boy, in other words, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He was given a bow and arrows. He became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife. His mother found him a wife. Out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that significant? His wife came from what nation? Egypt. He was an archer. He used a bow. And what in Revelation 6, my friends, what does this rider of the white horse, when the first seal is broken by the Lamb, the beast says, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The bow! But where will he get the arrows? Ah, the great eagle. The great eagle that was also sent into the wilderness of America. And he had exactly 13, I believe it is, arrows in his claw or his talon. And they're depicted on the U.S. $1 bill. But Ishmael, is he of Israel? Or is he of the Arab world? One thing we know for sure, both Ishmael and Isaac are the seed of Abraham. But one is the seed according to the flesh. And one is the seed according to the promise. That's the Spirit of God. It is Isaac that has the promise and the Spirit of God. It is Ishmael that is only of the flesh. Only of the flesh. Not the Spirit. It is Isaac that is free. It is Ishmael that was born in bondage to the slave woman. Now some people say, but Tex, we've heard these things from our pastors for so long. We know who Ishmael is. My Baptist, my Assembly of God, my Pentecostal pastor, whatever it is, told us that Ishmael was the founder of the Arab nation. The Arabs today come from Ishmael. That's why they're so evil. They're always fighting everybody. Everybody's hand is against them, and their hand is against everybody else. They're wild men, those Arabs. Oh, they're Muslims today. Look how evil they are. And Isaac are the Jews. And look what a wonderful, peace-loving nation Israel is today. And Israel loves America, and America loves Israel, and those two are one, and they're working together against these evil Islamo-fascist Arabs in the Middle East. That's what they say. They say historians have taught them this. The Bible doesn't say that. Let's see what the Bible has to say. And Paul tells us the truth about it in Galatians. In Galatians. First of all, in chapter 3 of Galatians, he tells us who the seed of Abraham is. Who is the seed of Abraham? He said it has nothing to do with being a Gentile or a Jew. Ah, the first mystery. It has nothing to do with being a Jew or a Greek. In other words, a Jew or a Gentile. It's not a matter of being a Jew or an Arab or a Gentile. It has to do with something called faith. Faith. Verse 28 of chapter 3 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If you believe in Christ Jesus, you're one. Verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh my. The seed has the promise. In Isaac shall thy name be called. And the promise is what? Salvation. And you will become the heir. You will inherit all things. Some people say, how about the land? You know, in the last chapter I read to you, did I not? Revelation 2 verse 26 says, and he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The Bible in Revelation tells us that it is Jesus and his followers. It is the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus through faith. And they will inherit all things. They are the overcomers. And they will have power over all nations. Because Genesis says that Abraham is the father of many nations. Not just one nation. Not just Israel. He's the father of many nations. And his seed shall be as the sands of the sea. Many. And they're not Jew. They're not Gentile. They're just Jesus people. And if they're of Jesus, then they're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. They're of Isaac. They're of the lineage of Isaac. And who, come Frank, came from the lineage of Isaac but Jesus? And who is the seed of Abraham and of Jesus? Christians who belong to Christ. Now some say, I'm truly confused. What about the Jews of the flesh? Are they not the seed? Oh, Jesus talked to the Jews because they said, we're of Abraham. The Pharisees told him, we're of Abraham, our father. And Jesus said, that's right. You are the seed of Abraham in the flesh. You see, you're the seed of Abraham, but your father is the devil. Oh, is that confusing you, dear friends? Your fleshly father can be Abraham, but you're of the devil. You're the seed of Abraham. Jesus says, I know you're the seed of Abraham, but your father is the devil. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar and the father of a lie. And you're just like him. Boy, that didn't sit too well, did it? And now you want to kill me, Jesus said. The one sent by God, now you want to kill me. Now, a lot of you sent a text, I wasn't taught these kind of things. Well, maybe you better read Paul. Maybe I better read to you the scriptures that your pastor dare not reveal to you. And maybe somehow you yourself have never stumbled upon. Or if you have read them, maybe you didn't read them with eyes that can see. Maybe you didn't hear the gospel with ears that could hear. But today, for the first time, you will be awakened. You will be wise. You will know. And it will make all the difference in your life. Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Galatians, to Gentiles of Galatia, a province in Greece, said, verse 22 of chapter 4 of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Ah, we're talking about who? Hagar and her son Ishmael, bond woman, slave. We're talking about free woman, yes, Sarah and her son Isaac. For it is written, says Paul, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Ishmael was born to Hagar, the bondwoman, the slave, by flesh. It cannot be denied that he's the seed by flesh of Abraham. He is the seed. He is the seed of Abraham by flesh. But he's still a slave. And remember, he was cast out into the wilderness. Because God said he will not be heir with the free woman and her son Isaac. Paul said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 24, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. You see, at Mount Sinai, Moses received a covenant for the children of Israel. He received a covenant for those who were of the Jewish race, of the Israelite race, a covenant he received. And it gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. You mean the first covenant led to Hagar, which is Hagar? That's what it says. Verse 25, Paul says, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth, that means corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. The first covenant is the covenant given the children of Israel in the flesh, which corresponds to the Jerusalem that now exists. But it's in bondage with her children. The children of Israel are the children of Hagar. They are of Ishmael. They are of the lineage. They are the flesh of Ishmael. Oh yes, they're the seed of Abraham in the flesh. They can be traced all the way back. But in terms of it being an allegory, this covenant was one that they broke. they couldn't keep it. If they could have kept it, they would have been saved. It would have delivered them. But they couldn't keep it, so God gave mankind a better covenant. This one gendered, that means it led to bondage. It gendereth, it led to bondage. Because they brought in their man-made traditions, mixed it together with the things of God. And the children of Israel, for a while they worshiped the calf. And then they worshiped other false gods. And then Solomon brought in all of his false gods. And everything gendered to bondage. They kept going under bondage to the devil. This is the covenant of Hagar. And it answereth to, that means it corresponds to, Jerusalem, which is in bondage with her children. Friends, Jerusalem is in bondage. Why? They rejected Jesus. We will not have this man rule over us, the Jews said of Jesus. We will not have him. Our king is Caesar, they said. And they demanded Jesus be crucified. They, by their own tongue, their own words, even though they were the fleshly seed of Abraham, they put themselves in bondage by their own tongue. They're of Hagar. They're of Ishmael. But now we go further. The next verse, verse 26 says, but Jerusalem, which is above, that means in heaven, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now Paul's talking to Christians. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. If you belong to Jesus, you're heirs of Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:29. And if you're the seed of Abraham through faith in Jesus, guess what? You're free. You're not in bondage. There is liberty in Christ Jesus. You're a free man. You're a free woman. And Jerusalem, which is above, is free, and it's your city. It's the holy city, heavenly Jerusalem, the city that is above. And Paul said, it's the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which now is, that's the Jerusalem that is now on this earth, is in bondage. Of course, all of the Jews living this year, 2007, in Jerusalem, all of the Jews there that have not Jesus are in bondage to the devil and his works they will do. But every Gentile, every Jew that believes in Jesus Christ is translated into the kingdom of heaven. And they are not a citizen of this earth. They are a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem, the kingdom of God. They're free. And Isaac is thy name called. They're of Isaac. They're of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And they're of Israel. But how can they be the seed of Israel if they're a Gentile? Ah, you see, the spirit, the spiritual always trumps the flesh. Because Jesus said flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you must be born again in spirit and in truth through faith in him alone. And faith in Jesus brings you into a relationship with the Jerusalem that is above, and it frees you. You're alive, and you will live forevermore. And that is the second covenant, the covenant which is the New Testament of Jesus Christ, which Paul said is a better covenant. A better covenant. Now, we're going to return in just a moment. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We've got a lot more. We're going to have to round up. We're going to have to talk about this naked man on the white horse and what he's going to do in his evil to this world. This is Tex Mars. Stay right with us. Hello, friends. We're talking today about the synagogue of Satan. And we're talking about the Council on Foreign Relations and showing the connections. And the great coming Messiah of the new age is indeed going to be the father of the CFR. And his son will ride that white horse, the first of the four horses of the apocalypse of Revelation 6. Now, we have a book out that we've just published. It's authored by a man from England named Andrew Hitchcock. And I know he was inspired by the Lord to expose the synagogue of Satan. And that is the title of this book. And I want you to have it for $24. It's over 320 pages in length. A full index. Hundreds of references. You've got to have this book. First ever published like it. The Synagogue of Satan. I don't think you can get it at the bookstore. Go in and ask him about it. I'd like you to ask him to carry it. But they may not. The Synagogue of Satan, 320 pages plus by Andrew Hitchcock, $24. That covers shipping and handling. Here's how to get your copy of The Synagogue of Satan. Just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can order it there. You can also write to us, send a check or money order or cash, $24, to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our program. We're talking about the Synagogue of Satan. And we're looking at the Council on Foreign Relations, naked man on a white horse, which is their logo. Curious indeed. Now, I was preaching to you from Galatians chapter 4. And we saw then that there were two sons of Abraham. One was born after the flesh, but one was born after the promise. The son Ishmael was born to Hagar after the flesh. The son Isaac was born to Sarah, the free woman, after the promise. And now we see the difference. Because the son of Hagar corresponds, it says, here it is an allegory, and it is the covenant given to the Jews, that if they could have kept it, but it was impossible, it was the law, but they couldn't keep it. But there was another covenant given through Jesus Christ, through the blood. And it requires only faith through Jesus. And then he'll oversee your good works. Oh, I believe every Christian will have good works. But I do believe that they are through Jesus that you'll get no credit. You deserve no credit. For your salvation comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. How blessed that is. Now, you have to understand that Paul said right here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 25, that this Hagar corresponds or answereth to, relates to Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children, in bondage to the devil. But there is another Jerusalem, a Jerusalem in heaven, heavenly Jerusalem. And this is the city, the great city, which is the city of all who belong to Jesus, Jew and Gentile. And Paul said, it is not only the mother of us of all, but it is free. It is a free city. You have freedom there. Verse 27, listen to what he says. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. You see, Sarah was barren. She was barren. And she was so sad. And she was desolate that she couldn't have a child. And yet her husband had a child with the bondmaid, the bondwoman, the slave, Hagar. Hagar and Abraham together had Ishmael, the first son. And Sarah cried out. She was barren. And she travailed. And she was desolate. And yet Abraham truly was the husband of Sarah. Verse 28, Paul now speaks to the brethren, that is to Christians. He says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You get that, friends? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you been saved through faith in him? Then Paul said, now we, and he's including you in the we, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Ah, that's the new covenant. The covenant with Jesus. The New Testament. The better covenant. But, verse 29, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so, it is now. Do you know who persecuted the Christians? The early Christians? The Jews? Everywhere throughout the Roman Empire, they sought the massacre, the death of the Christians. It was because of their insistence that the Christians were taken away, thrown in prison, some of them sawn in half. Others had rocks tied to their body and thrown into the ocean. They were tortured for their faith. They were crucified for their faith. They were eaten up by lions for their faith. And the Jews demanded the Romans persecute them. Persecute them! All you have to do is read Fox's Book of Martyrs to see what has happened to many Christians because of the Jews demanding their torture, their blood, their death. Let me read that to you again. But as then, just as it was back in the days of the old days, the days of Ishmael, the days of Isaac, just as it was then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. You see, here's the struggle. Those born after the flesh are in bondage to the devil. They hate those that are born of the promise, that are born according to the Spirit of God. Jesus said, you're born again in spirit and in truth. And the minute you're born again, there is a hatred. There is a hatred of you. That's right. You are hated. You say, why would somebody hate me? They hate you because you're loved by God. You are one of the beloved. You're of the promise. In Isaac is thy name called. You are the seed of Abraham through the promise. And Jesus is that seed. And you are of Jesus. And you have an eternal possession. All things are yours. All things. And your great city is not Jerusalem here on earth. It's not this piece of dirt. It's not this fading a world that we see. It is an heavenly inheritance. Jerusalem, which is free. And let me tell you something, friends. The devil's going to try to persecute you. And those of the flesh, that means who? The Jews. The synagogue of Satan. They're going to persecute you. And read Revelation 2 and 3. Some they will cast into prison. And some they will kill. I'm talking about the synagogue of Satan will persecute you. They're of the flesh. They've got to do it. They're in bondage to the devil and they'll do what he says. They're of the old covenant. The one that vanished. That vanished. They were divorced by God. And Jesus said, I am going to take the kingdom and give it to another nation. What nation? Heavenly Jerusalem. His people. According to the Spirit. According to the promise that was given to Abraham and to Isaac. Oh yes, Isaac was given the promise. If you don't believe me, friends, oh my goodness gracious. Oh, read Genesis chapter 26. Every promise given to Abraham was given to Isaac. Every promise was given to Isaac. And Jesus said, 26, verse 3, it says, he told, and get this now, he told Isaac, this is God. He said, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The seed was Jesus. And truly, all the nations of the earth are blessed by Jesus Christ. Now, read more of what Paul says. He's explaining it. There's the children of the flesh, and they persecute the children of the promise. And they're of Hagar and Ishmael. They're wild men. They're wild men. And they have a bow in their hand. And they set out to conquer and to kill. Why? Because they want a kingdom. The kingdom of the Jews on planet Earth. They've always wanted a kingdom. And Revelation 6 says of the white horse rider, he has a bow in his hand and he goes forth to conquer. And he's given a crown. He's given a crown. But what is his destiny? And what is your destiny, dear friends? Because verse 30 of Galatians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? What saith Tex Mars? No. What saith your pastor of your Baptist or Episcopal or Pentecostal or Presbyterian church? No. What saith the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons? No. It says, what saith the Scripture? And Paul gives the answer. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. The Jews, the synagogue of Satan, say, we will not have this man, Jesus, to rule over us. We will not. The rabbis say, we hate this man. He's a bastard. Our Talmud says he's a son of a whore. We do not want this Jesus to rule over us. They're the children of the flesh. They're the children of Abraham according to the covenant. They're of Hagar and Ishmael, and they're wild people. They're rebels against God. They're Luciferian with their energy. They're the Luciferian warriors against God's people. And they kill, and they lie, and they murder, and they cast into prison. And their queen is Jezebel. And if you believe in her, you're very child, your children will die. You see, they even go into the church. And their prophetess brings the Jezebel doctrines into the churches. Why, Judaism is a wonderful religion. Why, Jesus was a wonderful man, but he wasn't truly God. Why, you can be a Judeo-Christian. They lie to you. The Jezebel spirit in the churches. She was the queen of Israel, was she not? Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, verse 31 says, so then, brethren, he's talking to Christians, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you have faith in him? Have you been born again? Listen to me. Then your mother is Sarah. Your father is Abraham. You are heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. And your inheritance will not be shared with the Jews of the synagogue of Satan, nor with the Gentiles, by the way, who assist them. And that's why Paul in Galatians 5, Verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The Jews want to bring you back under the law. They're even telling Christians today, you gotta get under the law. Or they're saying, we can unite together, Jews and Jesus. Well, there's a fellowship of Jews and Christians. Let's reconcile. Let's all come together. You have to give up something. You have to change your Bible. You have to take out those New Testament passages that say bad things about the Jews. Obviously, Galatians chapter 4 and 5 will have to go, the Jews say. Why? Because Galatians 4 says the Jews, Israel, after the flesh, is of Hagar. Ishmael, they're the wild people. Their hands are against everyone. Isn't that true today? Some people say, why anti-Semitism? Why do so many people oppose the Jews? And why do the Jews oppose everyone? There's a reason why there's been anti-Semitism in scores of nations for the last 2,000 years. Everywhere they go, their hand is against the people that live in that nation. And the people of that nation get fed up and angry and say, I'm not going to let you steal from me. I'm not going to let you kill anymore. I'm not going to let you take the riches of this nation. Get out! And they throw them out. They're cast out into the wilderness wherever they go. But they reestablish themselves. They're a great nation. God said, I will make of thee a great nation. You are the flesh of Abraham, and I will make you a great nation. But an evil nation too. Some say, but look, Ezekiel, in other verses of the Bible say they'll come again, and they'll be restored again. Yes. And it says they will be restored as warriors. Don't you remember? Don't you remember the vision? They come back and they're warriors. Mighty men. Luciferians. Synagogue of Satan. Bringing with them the spirit of Jezebel, and that's what the Zionist Judaizer spirit of John Hagee and Jerry Falwell and all the others are in the churches today. They have the spirit of Hagar and Ishmael right at their very neck, and they're bringing it into the churches. And they're bringing you bondage. They're bringing you bondage to the devil. Now let's look over some things here as we continue. This rider of the white horse on the CFR side that's watching us all, he's going to do more than watch pretty soon, because he's going to be given a bow. And he's going to be given the arrows of the great superpower of the world, America. And whatever he says to do, America will do. He is the beast that was wounded but came back to life, and now he has all the power and resources of the greatest superpower on earth, all the arrows and the talons of the great eagle. And now fear will come upon the world. Just like in the days of Esther, everyone will fear the Jews. Especially after the nuclear war that occurs. Especially after so many millions are slain. Fear will be a keystone of the coming New World Order. The brave new world of the occultic Illuminati of the Jews. Men will be driven by fear. And the new religion, global spirituality, will say, let us do away with fear. Let us love. Let us have peace. But it won't happen. They will be fear mongers. They will be filled with fear. Why? Because they kill and be killed. They establish jihads, and jihads are established against them. They make war against the Islamic nations, and the Islamic nations make war against them. And they kill Christians, because Jesus says to the Christians, they will kill you, and thinketh they do God service. For they crucified Jesus. You think they will let you go free? Once the crown is put on the head of their rider of the white horse. Once he has the bow with its quiver of arrows, and everything is unleashed. in the French Revolution, one of the leaders, the Illuminati Jewish leaders there, said a tiny spark can ignite a great fire. A great fire is coming up on this world. Vile persecution. Friends, read about the French Revolution. Read about the deaths. Read about the red terror of Lenin and Trotsky. The woman, the whore, wears red. Barbara Marx Hubbard, Jewish woman, leader of the New Age, wrote in her book, she said, "We are the riders of the pale horse. We bring death to those unfit to survive in the New Age." Friends, if you don't believe in the devil, if you don't trust in the devil, you're unfit for the New Age. That means all Christians. They'll say they love you while they're killing you. Remember, they killed the innocent and the Christians in the French Revolution, and they said, it's only an eternal sleep. Death is just an eternal sleep. Did you know that in the New Age movement, they have a book that is one of the popular bestsellers of the Lucis Trust as publisher? It's entitled Easy Death. Easy Death. Council on Foreign Relations some years ago published a very key article written by Professor Samuel Huntington, one of their own members. It was called The Coming Clash, or The Clash of Civilizations. There is coming a clash of civilizations. Muslim versus Christian. Christian versus Jew. World religions, nations, peoples, races, ethnic groups will turn on each other. And all the fundamentalists, of course, will be hated by all. And then comes the synagogue of Satan, the wild men, unrestrained. They have the Freemason sect behind them. They have the Kabbalah, the magic of the Jewish rabbis. They have the evil spirit of blood. And then Purim comes. The day every year when they celebrate the death of their enemies. Did you know the Jewish kids in the synagogues eat little cookies? They call them Hamantaschen, the flesh of Haman. There's a time the Bible says when God cries out to the beast because so many are dead, he says, come and eat of the flesh. Come and eat of the flesh of the dead. And the Jewish kids in the synagogues on Purim celebrate the death, the massacre of their enemies, and they eat cookies. They call the flesh of Haman their enemy. And now they have the atomic bomb. Oppenheimer, a Jew, head of the Manhattan Project that gave us the atomic bomb. Einstein, a Jew, gave us the scientific theories that made it possible. Rosenbergs, Jews, gave the secrets of the atomic bomb to the Russians, and Jewish spies gave them also to Israel. And now we have example after example of Israel smashing, killing, murdering, plundering its nearby Arab enemies. This goes all the way back, friends, to the Armenian genocide at the turn of the 20th century. When the Turkish Jews that led Turkey, yes, they were Jews, but they led Turkey. The Young Turks, they were called, the communists of their day. They killed so many Christian Armenians, Christians, and they would cut off their hands. They said there were so many severed hands that if they were placed side by side and lined up across the mighty desert there in Turkey, they would have made a giant freeway or highway. The deaths of their victims. The victims of the Jewish Turks. And in the Soviet gulags, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, these gulags that were headed up by commandants who were predominantly Jewish, 66 million Christians and others perished. And now today, the Jews have brought forth from their Talmud, a set of laws which they will soon be demanding the whole world honor. They already have the hate crime laws, and now they're going to be pushing for what are called the Noahad laws. And the first of these Noahad laws will make it a crime punishable by penalty of death, beheading. They will cut off the heads of any who worship idols. And who is Jesus in the Jewish faith but an idol? Friends, do you know that Revelation 13 says that in the last days they will take off the heads of those who refuse the mark of the beast and his name and his number? They will take off their heads. Is it not a strange coincidence, if that's what it is, that under the Noahide laws of the Chabad Lubavitcher Jewish sect that is so powerful in America that Arnold Schwarzenegger and George Bush and all practically worship at their feet, according to their law, if you worship Jesus, you'll be beheaded. Friends, if you read the Kabbalah and study the Jewish system of magic, you will see that it is the Jews who are the great red dragon. They are the Ouroboros. They are the serpent biting its own tail. They are encircling the globe, and their protocols of the learned elders of Zion tell them what they must do. Ah, yes. The naked wild man riding the white horse of the Council on Foreign Relations logo on their publication, Foreign Affairs, is the same man in Revelation 6. And in the Masonic manuals, he does a ritual of 666. And in his hand is a bow. And he is given a crown and he goes forth to conquer. Thus, here's the conclusion. What is the mysterious power behind the synagogue of Satan? It is the spirit of death of the synagogue of Satan, imbued in their black hearts by their father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer and the father of it. Now, friends, the Bible says something very powerful, though. The Bible says what is going to happen to the synagogue of Satan. They cannot share the inheritance with the saints. It is an impossibility. They are of the old covenant of Hagar and Ishmael, and they're in bondage. And yet, through faith in Jesus, the Jews can be cleansed. The Jews can be saved, just as the Gentiles. For God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a racist. He pleads with Jews as well as Gentiles even today. Come and drink of this water. But in Revelation 2:9, he says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. And he says in Revelation 3 verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been discussing the riddle of the Council on Foreign Relations, naked man on the white horse. Maybe we put a few clothes on him today. I pray you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.